Welcome to This Is That, where the Word of God comes to life. Here, we take on everyday questions faced by believers and converts, and we dig through the Word of God where similar situations have occurred, and we break it down on how these Bible principles and doctrines can be applied in our daily life situations. And it is our intention and prayer that this fellowship will encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with God. And as our commitment to advance God's kingdom to every culture and nation, we appreciate it very much if you would hit that like button and to share and to subscribe to our channel. This is That, moving the apostolic on your favorite podcast and on YouTube, Call to Ministry. This is That segment. And every time you click on the like button, the more we get advertised out there. And the more we get advertised, the more we are able to reach people. And so before we start, just a couple of shout-outs to our friends at the Uplift Podcast with Brother Nathan Beeler, the Steadfast Devotion Podcast with Brother Trey and Brother Calvin, and to the Search for Truth Podcast with Pastor Young. And so, without much ado, let's get to the table with your host, and let's get digging. Praise God. Welcome to another episode of This Is That. And tonight, we're here with my brother Nate and my brother James.
Praise God.
Praise God. And so tonight, we are going to be talking about the spirit of Saul and the spirit of the elder brother. Going to that, just a brief story of the life of Saul. Saul was chosen to be king of Israel when the time when the Israel would reject God and say, we would love to have a king. We would want to be just like the other nations around us. They have a king. And the spirit of Saul and the spirit of elder brother spirit that we're trying to talk about in here is the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of envy, and the spirit of anger. Because the life of Saul didn't start out like that, but during his last days, he started to be jealous. He started to envy. He started to have this anger issues within him. Why? Because at first, when the spirit of God came into him, he was great. But when the spirit of God left unto him and another spirit came in unto him, he started to be jealous about David. He started to envy what is going on. He started to have these anger issues. One time he was correcting his son, like, don't you know that I know that you and David are both close together, yeah. Best buddies? And he was saying, don't you know that if you don't kill him, he's going to take the kingdom away from you.
Right.
And so that is the spirit that he has. And later on, we'll be talking about the elder brother spirit in the same way. But before we go that, let me read you a scripture in James chapter 3, verse 16. It would say, for envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
Yeah,
that's good. Talking about Saul and the process of Saul, it was a process.
Yes,
it didn't just like one day. It was kind of like one day, but it was like, you know, after so many things God was willing to do, but you just kept trying to be like we was talking about, you know, in the podcast last time, by preeminence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he was doing it. And I believe the first start of it.
Mm.
And it was in 1 Samuel chapter 15, yes. 13 through 18. It says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Yes. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which are here?
Yes.
And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites,
yes,
from the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night.
All right.
And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight,
amen,
was thou not made the head, amen, of the tribes,
right,
of Israel?
Amen.
And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they become consumed.
Amen.
So what this is saying in simple terms is that God commanded Saul to go and completely destroy everything the Amalekites.
Yeah.
Leave nothing.
Yeah.
He said, God is saying, I'm going to bless you, but not with what they have.
Amen.
Because everything they have is rotten and destroyed and is sin.
Yeah.
And I'm here to show them the power of God.
Amen.
Not the power that you have, not the power of Saul, but I want to show them the power of God. But instead, Saul said, but they do got some fat calves. I think that'd be good to eat. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because of his disobedience, God chose another captain. God chose a David. Bible says that he would always have these anger issues. That's why they would call David to go and play the harp. And that's every time he plays the harp, his spirit calms.
That's right.
And when I read that, it's not because of the playing of the harp, but because David was there. And the Spirit of God was with David. And the Spirit that was with David calms the place down.
Yeah. Right. Matter of fact, David's anointing.
Yes.
And I got it because it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 14, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
Yes.
And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him, meaning that God got dominion over all things.
Amen.
And it says, Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on the harp.
And it
came to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon him, that he shall play with his hands, and thou shalt be well.
Amen.
And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem, a Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, a mighty violent man and a man of war. And prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep.
That's right.
He was a sheep herder.
That's
old
it.
David.
Yes, yes. And what we're trying to convey in here is the spirit of Saul is this bitterness, this anger, this wanting to be, we talked about it the last time when we were together. We talked about the spirit of preeminence. This wanting that just because we were called, because we were called first, we are going to receive a bigger portion of the inheritance.
Right.
We were there first, therefore we're going to get the bigger anointing.
Yeah.
That's not the case with God.
Yeah.
It might be with man, it might be with the humankind, but for God, it's not the case.
That's right.
I remember a parable about the workers in the field.
That's right.
It was talking about this rich man, this owner of the land. When it was harvest time, he would go to the streets.
And that's in Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 1.
All right.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard.
There you go.
And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and wheresoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idly and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idling? They say unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny.
Yes.
But when the first came, they supposed that they would have received more.
Mm-hmm.
And they likewise received every man a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, but thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the and the heat of the day. Amen. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not I agree with me for a penny?
Yeah.
Take that thine is and go thy way.
Yeah.
I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own?
Amen.
In thy own eye, evil because I am good.
Yeah.
So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
That's it.
Wow. What we're trying to point out in here is that what the workers, the first hour workers, was complaining to the master of the field was that, why are you giving the ones that came in last the same as we have?
Yeah,
we were here first.
We worked 10 hours. They worked an hour.
Yeah. That was, they're complaining. They're right. complaining because they did all the work and now they're receiving the same reward. That's one of the characteristics of preventing us from moving forward. The spirit of jealousy, the spirit of complaining. First of all, God died for every soul.
Yes, he did.
We might not like the person, but God died for that person.
That's right.
And
that's
right. if we are jealous because God is blessing another brother, if we become jealous because our brother is doing good more in the ministry, we're talking about this because God has a different placement for everybody.
Yeah. Right.
We, again, last time we were talking about being members of one body.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have different functions.
That's it.
We may be all in the same ministry,
mm-hmm.
but we have different types of ministry where God is using us. God is going to allow us to come together for the edifying of the body and for the church and the Christ. But God is using us in different ways.
Amen. The foot can't say that I'm not the hand, so I don't need to be part of the body.
Yeah, because that would be that would hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not the eyes. I can't see where we're going, so I don't need to be part of the body. We need every single part of the body to function every day to do what we need to do.
That's right.
You know, that reminded me of our old, was talking about on our last topic, when I was talking about how powerful it would be when every church comes together.
Amen.
Because right now, we got churches that's on fire.
Yeah.
And they're doing good, but let's just say you're just one good eye that got a good vision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just imagine you get the whole body and now you got two good eyes.
Yeah.
Or you can hear the word of God, but just imagine you get two good ears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can hear good and see good, but just imagine you might just be that one eye. You know, you might just be that one side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might just be an eyeball and an ear and you're missing the whole frame.
Yeah.
You know? But the power of it is when we all get together.
Yes.
And that unity, that unity is a very powerful thing.
Yeah,
and we can get that.
Yes.
It's like right now in America, we got the division spirit.
Oh, yeah.
We got the selfish spirit.
Yeah.
We got the Saul spirit. Yeah. We got the elder brother spirit. Yeah. But just imagine if we can cleanse all of that and take all the pride and take all that away and we get the unity spirit.
Yes. Amen.
We can get the anointing of God, the love spirit.
Yeah,
because that's what we need to be thriving.
That's
what
we're telling you.
That's right.
That's what we need to be seeking out. Besides seeking out so many, just a reason to hate.
I'm telling you, the devil's working hard because he knows his time is short.
It is. Yes, he knows.
You know,
that's right. So we don't have to be jealous for a brother just because he is the one reaping. Like, well, he's baptizing a lot of people, and I'm not baptizing anything. Well, you might be called to be a sower, and he might be called to be a reaper. Don't be jealous just because he's baptizing people. But God has plans for each and every one of us. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. It would talk about God gave some apostles. God gave some prophets.
That's right.
God gave some teachers, pastors. For what? Why did he?
The edification of the body.
Edifying of the saints. God brought people of different places and he placed them in positions, not for us, but for the body.
That's right.
Praise God. I remember you was talking a little bit about the rebellious, and that just brought me back to Saul when Samuel, went right after he got done Saul got done saying, I did the will of God, I did it.
Yeah.
But a couple of and chapter 15, 1 Samuel 15, going down to chapter 22 and 23. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
That's Amen. Powerful.
Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
And to hearken than the fat of rams.
That's right.
For rebellious is as the sin of witchcraft. The stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry.
Amen. Wow.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
He has also rejected thee from being king.
Wow. Amen.
This is why Saul, after this is what brought that spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man of God spoke this to him.
Yeah.
We gotta be prepared for the word of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we got to want to move when God says move. We got to, because you want to stay, as we said earlier, in the will of God.
What Saul was trying to do in there is, he says, in his mind, he'll say, I have sinned, but I can reconcile myself to God. Yeah. That's why he is trying to please God by, mm-hmm. well, I know I have sinned, but if I can do this offering, I'll be right with God again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you cannot save yourself. Yeah. You cannot reconcile yourself to God, but only God, through His mercy, through His grace, is going to reconcile us with Him.
Amen.
And if we are not submitted to what He wants to do, and it's like we want to do what we want to do, then just like what we'd be talking about when we talk about pride, that is going to be one of the shackles that puts us in place, and we're not going to be able to move forward.
No, you're right.
It's also like we was talking about when you're trying to do too much. Because first of all, Saul was just a king.
He
was just a king.
But now
you're trying to take the place of a prophet.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're trying to, I know I did wrong, so hey, I need to sacrifice lamb. Like, no. You better go talk to the man of God.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes that's what people don't realize, how because of Jesus Christ, we got that advocate.
Yes.
That it is very easier for us to get that peace, to get to overcome obstacles, to be saved from the things that they had to face, like the spirit. We can go to Jesus.
Yeah.
And in the name of Jesus, evil spirit will flee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Jesus Christ, we have more overcoming powers.
Yeah.
That they had, because they did not have that Savior. Yep. They had the hope of one.
Yeah. Yes.
But we don't have the hope of one. We got the one.
That's
man.
It.
Yeah.
They didn't have the Spirit living inside of them. We do.
Yes. Yeah. You know?
That's right.
Yeah. And one attribute of the Spirit of Saul during his last days was he was always afraid that somebody's going to be on top of him, like better than him.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, talking about the Pharisees, when Jesus was teaching and preaching, the Pharisees would thought that Jesus would side with them.
Right.
But when Jesus started to rebuke them, when Jesus started to say, do not be like this Pharisees, what they do was they continued to be against Jesus.
They was expecting Jesus to side with them, and Jesus was like rebuking them.
Yeah.
What happened was that there was a spirit inside of the Pharisees, what it sounded like. And when Jesus said, no, you got a spirit that you need to check. I'm checking that spirit inside of you. Now what you're going to do? And when it was like, that was decision-making time. And it was like, again, that dog, the two dogs was on that thing. And they decided to feed that black dog instead of the white dog. Amen. They decided to see the one with horns besides the ones with the wings. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
I got that scripture written down.
Go ahead and get it.
That's
man.
Matthew 23:27. Says, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Yeah.
For ye are like unto whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness.
Yes. What are we trying to please? Are we trying to please men, or are we trying to please God?
That's right.
We're not competing with men. I'm not competing with you.
No.
We should check that attitude that we're not competing with a brother.
That's right.
We're trying to... We have to develop that attitude, not attitude of the world, because the world would say, oh, you have to be better than him. And the world would put us in competition with each other. But with Christ, no, that's not what Christ wants. He wants you to lift up a brother.
That's right.
We're not competing about you and I, but we're competing about ourselves. We try to make ourselves better for Christ. I love it. When Burr Morgan, I was listening to him in one of his preaching, and he said, when God tells you to stay in a corner, and that is you're going to be what you're going to do, and you obey God, you are obedient to God. And that is the same when my brother, when God tells him to go and to win some souls, to go and pray for that one, if he does that, he is as obedient as you in the corner.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is when we get this spirit of Saul in us and say, well, why did God tell him to go and go preach over there while he told me to just stay over here?
Yeah.
And right? When we get ahead of God and say, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
When we do that, we get out of alignment of God. We become disobedient like Saul did.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we're going to stay here.
It's not a good thing.
Yes, because we're disobedient.
That reminds me of what we was talking about earlier, where we don't know what God is doing.
That's right.
It's about us staying in line with God. Like when you was telling, the story about how when you go and you do the fire, you go and you're a pastor at the firehouses.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, in your mind, you're just doing the will of God. I'm gonna go knock these with my visitation. I'm gonna knock these, knock these firehouses doors, but not knowing to them, you are literally bringing the hope and faith, and you're probably making them feel safe, knowing that we can make it. The man of God came and talked to us today, not knowing who we are. Like us do, like when I'm doing my visitation. In my mind, I'm just doing this is the will of God, everything about Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But not knowing that when I knock on those doors, maybe somebody was had a prayer, and there I am, do. Who is it? It's the church.
Yeah.
Tears falling down their faces because this is a God's thing.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with me. This is what God is needing to be done. As people out there that's hungry, that's seeking God, He's using the ones that is willing to step out and to do it. True. And not stay in the tent.
Yes. That is one of the big hindrances, is when we try to when we try to complain to God, when we, the spirit of Saul would come and say, I don't want him to be better than I. Mm-hmm. We complain to God and say, Lord, why is he having more revival than I? Why is he baptizing more than I? Well, we don't know what the plan of God is.
Yeah.
I know the bishop testifies about this. You might be the smallest church, but if you see that church, they are the most giving church. They give more to missions than the one who is the bigger church. Mm-hmm. Just because you were here doing this little thing, mm-hmm. we talked about it again. Just because you're the one working behind the curtain, mm-hmm. behind the pews, nobody's looking at you. You're not even recognized.
Yeah.
Just because you're doing that doesn't mean you're insignificant.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing the will of God.
That's what matters.
We're not pleasing man, but we're pleasing God.
That's right.
That's what matters.
Amen.
Yeah.
What scripture you got, brother?
When you get upset with your brother and you go off on this thing that ain't the will of God, you know, Ephesians 4 and 26, it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath.
Amen.
Neither give place to the devil.
Neither give place to the devil.
Man, that's...
That's powerful.
Just that little statement, neither give place to the devil,
is
huge.
Yes.
Because when I start murmuring and complaining about what I'm not doing and my brothers are, out here doing this podcast and winning souls and baptizing folks and all this, that's giving place to the devil.
Yes.
Man, that's letting him...
Yes.
the Bible talks about the root of bitterness.
Yes.
And that's what it gives place to.
Amen. That is so true. That is so true. Because when we start to complain, we start to question God.
That's like, right.
Oh, Lord, are you sure you know what
I know better than you do, God. Yeah. I should be doing this.
Yeah. Mm. And that's what happened to Lucifer.
And he got kicked out of heaven.
Amen. Yeah.
He don't have no way to get back right with God.
Mm-mm. Amen.
Well, you know, you got, and that's, and we got to realize, man, I wish that people would realize how important it is to stay in tune to the fruit of the Spirit.
I'm
to
telling
the fruit
you.
Of God. Yes. Because they don't know how easy it is for their lives to be entangled with these wrong spirits.
Man.
They don't know it. And some of them is facing it and don't know what's wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if we was to break down the characteristics of a true Saul, of a true elder brother, which we probably will, but it's like, if you got that spirit, we need to check that spirit.
Man, I'm telling you.
And the thing is, we need to get to the point to where stuff, something like this can get to where, because that's why we are under the attack that we are under. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can, if people look at it, they could look, oh, you guys are being attacked physically.
Yep.
No, we're not physically, we're not that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's the spiritual attack.
Amen. Amen.
Man.
Amen. And spiritual attacks come from words that are spoken.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what I mean? When it's like what I read earlier when he spoke to Saul. When Samuel spoke to Saul automatically, man, those words hurt.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. But it was because he was out of disobedience. He was rebellious to what needed to be done.
Yes.
The elder brother spirit right now is running rampant in the world.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because there's a superiority complex that comes along with that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is basically it being racist. I mean, you know, I'm better than you are because I look different. Or I'm superior. Yeah. You know, my ancestors were better than yours.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Just like you said, Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every soul.
Yeah.
Not just me.
Yeah.
Not just Brother Oscar and not Brother Nate.
Yeah. Yeah.
For everybody.
Amen. Talking about the elder brother spirit, there are many who backslid. There's this fear of going back to the church. Mm. Why? Because they know that there's somebody out there who's going to greet them and say, well, you came back. Why did you come back?
Yeah.
We got to stand up against that spirit.
Yes.
We got to.
Man, because Jesus is long-suffering.
That's right.
Not willing that anybody should perish, but everyone should come to repentance.
That's right.
God's hands are like this.
That's
right. To the ones that have fallen, the ones that have backslid, those who the one that fell out. His hands are like this. And the elder brother spirit comes in between God and the ones that are coming and said, like this, and say, looking them up and down as if they were the ones who's going to save them.
Yeah. I've been here doing what God told me to do.
Oh, yes.
You've been out in the pig pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the story of the vineyard. You know what I mean? Like, man, I've been out here the whole time laboring and harvesting. You think you're going to come in on the 11th hour?
Oh, yes.
You think you're going to reap the same reward as
me? That's right.
Yeah.
I hope this spirit ain't too strong in our church. Because, you know, when somebody comes back, I believe that our church is different. But it could be at any church. You don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It could be secret people that just be like, they came back?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna be here for long. they're automatically putting that spirit in the air.
Yeah,
people don't realize how important what words can do just by you putting it in the air.
That's right. Amen.
We need to check ourselves for what we're saying.
Yeah,
and because that's what's in your mind, and you already holding. That means that you got some something in yourself that you need to work on.
Amen.
Plus, you are speaking this, and now this person that just came back is wondering, why do I feel like why do I feel like I'm not accepted?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like they don't want me here?
Yeah.
Well, because somebody put that in the air.
Yeah.
I pray to God that ain't in the air.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
I'm telling you.
Well, you cannot get away with that. There are some. But us, we should be more open.
Yeah.
We should be more stronger, more bigger than those that would those that had the elder brother spirit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. I love the bishop. Every time he says, when there's a backslider that comes, he goes and talks to them. Mm-hmm. And the backslider would come and say, can we come back? And the bishop would always say, you can come back in one condition. Come back like you never left.
Hey, for
that's
real.
Right.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. We all love
man,
the
bishop. I'm telling
the bishop,
you.
But I remember when the bishop, you remember, because I think we was talking about it earlier, and I wanted to talk about it earlier. Like, bishop was talking about how there was one guy that reached to him, told him, saved his soul. And because somebody saved the bishop, Morrell Cornwell's soul, now the bishop has reached over the whole world.
Yeah.
Because he reached to one soul. So you never know who you reaching to.
Yeah.
You never know who you
don't. Speak.
Yeah.
You don't never know who is going to be the next Paul.
Yes.
You know, he was out killing Christians.
Yeah.
And he thought he was doing God's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he had paperwork from... He had the paperwork from the dude saying, I can kill whoever I want to if they talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's out baptizing people.
Yeah.
And they're getting the Holy Ghost under his ministry. You never know who you're going to reach.
Yeah.
That soul that you're going to win that's going to preach to millions of people. And millions of people are going to get saved under his ministry.
Yeah. And that's why it's very important, because you don't think you're insignificant enough to where God can't use you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying earlier, like that person that God said, go out there and preach and teach the message, and I need you to stay in that corner.
Mm-hmm.
God might be using you in that corner because those who is watching up there might be seeing you praising and worshiping and being like, and get inspired.
Yeah. Yep.
You might be the inspiration of somebody. You might be the encourager of somebody. Yeah. You might be that what somebody might not hear, but they can see.
Yeah.
Man, and let me tell you may be a door greeter, and somebody comes into the church and they're feeling all down and out because their week has been just terrible.
Yeah.
And God give you something to say to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That nobody else could say to them.
Yeah.
And it could win them.
Yes.
And you don't never know.
That's right. That's right.
So there's no little person and big person. And man, I'd rather be a door greeter in the house of God than live in all the tents of the wicked.
Yeah, for real.
Amen.
Man.
Pastor Scott was saying this morning, he said that there was one kid that was causing ruckus and havoc all over. Mm-hmm. And he said he kept going. They was getting ready to kick him out of church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pastor Scott said, but then I just came up to him and I asked him, can I give him a hug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we gave him that hug automatically. Life change.
You never know.
Some people, you don't know what a person could be going through.
Yes.
And you don't know what type of demons or spirits they've been fighting.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we get so caught up in ourselves
and
we get so caught up with holding on to, it's me, it's me, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm on the stand, I'm standing by myself. I ain't got time for you pushing people away. And no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I know you want me to work in that ministry, but I'm going to stay to myself. Not knowing that God is just sitting back thinking, man, I'm going to get you there.
Yeah.
But you can't do it on your own, especially in the ministry, especially if you want to see family saved, especially if you want to be, if there's healings in your family, especially if there's miracles that need to be done. You can't hold on to that selfish. You can't hold on to it's me or why is my brother getting exposure?
Yeah.
You can't hold on to that.
Yeah.
You can't do that and expect revival in your family. You can't do that wanting healing in your. You're going to have to humble yourself, because like we was talking about Saul in the New Testament, he had to fall and bump his head to see the light.
Yeah. Don't have that attitude that, I'm the one holy in here. I'm the only one holy in here in all of these sinners. Let me bring you to a verse in the Bible. It says Titus chapter 3 verse 3. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish.
Yeah.
We were sometimes disobedient.
That's right.
We were sometimes deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Yeah.
We all have sinned.
Yes.
And fall short
of
the glory of God.
That's right.
And so why are we acting like we are the only ones that deserve the peace? The love of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God saved us all.
That's right.
He did that.
I've got a scripture written down, Matthew 7:1. It says, judge not that you be not judged.
Oh,
for with what judgment you judge,
yes,
you shall be judged.
Amen.
And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Amen.
And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam which is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye?
That's right.
That mean a mote is just a little old speck of dust.
Yeah.
A beam is like a 2x4. You got I got a big old 2x4 hanging out my face over here. But let me get this little speck of, you know, let me get that hair out your eyeball.
In the church, example of his elder brother's spirit is that in some churches, especially in small church, sometimes the pastor feels threatened when someone comes and that person is more charismatic or more dynamic in a way than him. And sometimes they feel threatened by that. That person is going to take my church away from me. That person is going to take my pulpit, my ministry away from me. And so what happens is that this pastor would shut that person down.
Wow.
And what happens is that if instead of that person being encouraged, he becomes discouraged. He starts to develop this bitterness towards that person, that hate towards that person. And when that person doesn't get corrected right away, he would develop this attitude to hate others.
Yeah.
If we see that spirit coming, we have to start right away, stand up against that, and don't entertain that spirit. Because if we do that, we're not going to be able to move forward. We're going to stay where we are. God's going to find somebody else to have their revival. God's find somebody else to have their breakthrough.
That kind of reminds me of that Saul story. When David came back, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, it says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely.
Yeah.
And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meeting King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of the music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul have slain his thousands.
Amen.
And David his 10,000s.
Amen.
And Saul was very wroth.
Yeah. Amen. He got mad.
And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they had ascribed but thousands. Oh. And what can he have more but the kingdom?
All right.
And this right here is just to show now my mind, you got to think about this. Okay, now you're the king.
Uh-huh.
You're the king of this land, and you have got the toughest dude, and he is slaughtering anybody. You go kill him, and he's coming back singing with, you know what I mean? And you sitting back, well, go kill them, because he was sending them out on some missions. Yeah, like, man, I'm trying to kill you,
right?
And you come and you keep coming back. You know what I mean? You're killing all my enemies, but dang near, I was hoping one of them would have killed you. You know. But he keeps coming back. But at the end of the story, the truth of the matter is the spirit that was in Saul that he kept feeding was so toxic.
Yes.
Not realizing that, dude, your enemies is being defeated.
Yes.
And David is on your side.
Amen. Amen.
That's like if God was sitting here defeating battles after battles for you, but you still don't want to accept him.
Amen.
You're not accepting God, and God is saying, man, I'm up here fighting for your soul.
Yes.
I'm delivering you, and you're still not willing to accept me? Let me get into your heart?
Amen.
It's like a church, that God has made it survive through the COVID, that then survived through all of these trials and tribulations. The government almost tried to shut you down, but God made another way. God had made a way. Then you still, God is saying, okay, but I need you to read Acts 2:38.
Amen. Yes.
I've been trying to get you there since your dad was a minister. Mm.
That's right.
But yeah. you're not allowing me to get the full glory here.
Amen. All right.
I need the full glory here. This is what you need.
Yes.
You need to accept me completely.
Yeah. Amen.
Completely.
Amen.
Amen. No, it's not just the first time that you repent and receive the Holy Ghost is the time that you accept Christ and you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
It's a daily process. It's a daily walk. Every day, you know, I want to tell Jesus, I love you and I accept you as my Savior. And I want you to lead me and guide me and order my steps because I'm just dumb enough to do something really stupid.
I'm with you.
Amen.
Amen. Have a little fun. Have a little fun.
Yeah.
But amen. That's true. But that's I'm talking about the churches that don't even practice or teach the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do got the Holy Ghost, let's walk in it daily. Yeah.
Man.
Let's walk in that daily. Yeah.
We allow the flesh to be here and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to be here. It has to be the opposite. The Holy Ghost has to be the one on top, ruling our bodies.
Amen.
Than us ruling the Spirit.
That's right.
Because we will be misled.
Yes. That's right.
I mean, that's where America is.
Mm-hmm. Man,
we don't have an anointed leader. So now we got the enemy just roaming wild and planning whatever they want and doing whatever they want. And I'm thanking God that, you know, it takes for shootings or whatever it might take, the world war, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, people be like, we don't need that. Whatever it takes to get us to wake up.
Amen.
And to stand up and to fight this fight that we are taking Jesus out of everything.
Amen.
We got to stop denying what's God's.
Amen.
You know, good times make people lazy.
Mm. Wow.
That's bad times make the people pray.
Hey, amen. For real. Hey, amen. That's, hey, for real. Amen.
I've heard that there ain't no atheist in a foxhole. When it's wartime, you praying to somebody, please save me. Yes. Okay? We're in a spiritual war right now. Awesome, I mean, time to hunker down and pray and find what God's will is.
Yeah.
Amen.
And walk.
Amen. Let's not fight with each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
The enemy is not us. No. The enemy is, there's a real enemy. We have a common enemy, and that's not your brother. That is the devil who's out there, wants to get your soul, wants to create division, wants to put this spirit of envy, anger, and jealousy among us. Why? Because if he can divide us, then he can stop the revival that God wants us.
Right.
Because he knows that if we're together, man, God is going to be with us like, oh, my people are together.
Right. Amen. Man, we wrestle not with flesh and blood.
Yes.
But against principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes. And why do you think that all of these spirits are trying to come out at the same time?
Because they know that the time is short.
They know that the time is short. Amen.
They see more than we do.
Yes. Amen. And that should be a sign that the enemy is stirred. And we should think like, why is the enemy stirred? Well, because he doesn't want us to come into our promised land.
He doesn't want us to do God's will.
Because he knows that if we are in tune with God, he knows that we're going to have a breakthrough.
That's right.
But if he can put division between you and I, if he can put jealousy, the spirit of the elder brother between you and I, then he can prevent us from moving forward together and claim our promise.
He can have another trophy on the wall of hell.
But there is a promise.
There is a promise.
Amen.
And we are going to overcome.
That's right.
Question is, how do we overcome the spirit of Saul and the spirit of the elder brother spirit? I've done more things than them. I should be getting more reward. How we overcome this is we have to have a mindset that it's not about us.
That's right.
It's not about us building our kingdom.
That's right.
But it is about God. It's about His church.
Amen.
That we need to advance the kingdom of God together as one. Amen. We cannot, just like you're talking about war, we cannot go to war by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need our brother.
We need to be hand in hand.
We need to be hand in hand. We need put our shoulders together and then move forward as one body.
Right, man. You know, as it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption."
That's Amen. Right.
"But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Life.
Amen.
"And let us not worry in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Amen. Yes.
You know, we gotta make sure that we're sowing the right seeds, that we're Amen. Feeding the right things inside of us. You know, yes. So, because, you know, in this day and time, there's either, you got a lot of people that's always about dieting and doing good. Me, myself, I ain't gonna lie, I'll be trying to do healthy. Because if you don't, you die early. Okay. Praise God. And I'm not scared of dying, but I don't want to die before I feel like I'm doing the will of God.
Right. You know what I mean?
And I want to make sure that I'm able to do it. Amen. But at the same time, it's the same thing in the spirit.
That's right.
You can't get so spirit, so physically, so-called fit and in shape that you lose fact that now your spirit. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that you are tuning out what needs to be out spiritually.
Amen.
Because you got to watch out what, especially these days, because, you know, I'm just going to be real with you. I believe in witches.
Oh, yeah.
I believe in war. I believe in warlike. I believe in all of that. I believe in darkness. I believe in hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that there's so much stuff that the enemy and witches, everything, even every evil and corruption thing is trying to kill our soul, is trying to drain the life out of us. And if we don't watch out, watching something, listening to something, or just not doing nothing, just to be stagnant, is just a plan that the enemy will use. And sometimes, because you can sit there and just have a thought that no, just out of random, why did I think of that? Because you're just not doing nothing.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Or you could, and just listening to something. Next minute you know, you can feel something. And it's when it's a spirit that just Amen. Automatically, just because you allowed your heart and soul to be open to that.
Yep.
It's very important. That's the reason why when Saul was, when he had the wicked spirit, he said, "I'm going to need something good that's going to calm this spirit down, that's going to take this out."
Yeah.
But us right now, not knowing that we're still feeding the wicked. We're still feeding the deceit. We still want to listen to the corruption. We still want to listen to murder, kill, kill. You know what I'm saying? And wondering, okay, how can we ever stop a murderer from murdering when they're just feeding the murdering spirit?
Amen.
How can we stop the killing when the only thing they're feeding is kill, kill?
That's right.
Amen.
We got to get them to hear other words. Yes, we got to get them to listen to words of hope and faith, which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. What did the Proverbs say? You are what you eat, and you are what you put in.
That's it.
What you put in is what is going to come out.
What you feed is going to survive. You feed your physical man.
Amen.
It's going to survive. You feed your spirit man, it's going to survive.
Amen. Yeah. And so I'm going to ask my brother James, how should we act then if we have this elder brother spirit? How should we overcome this elder brother spirit?
We need the true elder brother spirit.
Oh, praise God.
Not the one that's false.
Amen.
We need the true one. And it's being protective and loving and forgiving and a leader and humble.
Amen.
And a servant.
Yes.
That's the true spirit of the elder brother.
Amen.
Which God wants those attributes to be well and cultivated and active in our lifestyle.
That's right. That's right. Because God, it might be that God allowed you to be first so you can be the light for others.
That's right.
What we're supposed to be. God raised up the elders before us to teach us and guide us.
Yes.
That's supposed to be the real, as you said, the real elder brother spirit. I love it when you said the real elder brother spirit.
Yeah, that's it.
That was awesome.
Because that is true.
That's the truth.
Yeah, that is the kingdom of God. That's how God wants us to be.
Yeah. Amen.
Not this fighting with each other, envying, being angry with each other, jealous of each other.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, as he was talking about that, that was just reminding me of the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, amen.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Go on and read that.
That's what I'm reading.
That's awesome.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And this is what I love about it. Against such there is no law.
Amen. That's right. Right. Amen. He's saying, go overboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go
yeah.
to the max.
Yeah. Hey, for real.
If your brother asks you to go a mile, go two.
Yeah, for real. Amen. If he wants your cloak, take off your
That's it.
Whatever.
You know, That's it.
You know
That's
what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he told them here in Matthew 6, you know, he gave them the Father's Prayer.
Amen.
Okay, this is how you should pray.
Amen.
But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But not ye there be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before you ask him.
Amen.
After this manner therefore pray you. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everybody's heard this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation.
Yes.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And then the very first thing he talks about when he gets done with that instruction. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yes.
And a lot of people have issues with forgiveness.
Yes.
Boom.
That's true.
You will stay where you're at.
Yes.
You will not go forward.
No. You will stay. You'll be shackled with the chains of bitterness.
That's it.
Man, that's awesome.
Yes. Because we're not fighting with each other. Proverbs 27, verse 17. I love it. It says, iron sharpeneth iron.
Oh, I love
so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be clashing with each other, but we're supposed to be like, shh.
I love that scripture, man.
You make me strong, I make you strong.
That's right. Every time I see you, you make me strong.
Yes. Yes. We're not fighting blade to blade, but
That's
we're
right.
sharpening each other.
That's right.
Why? Because it's not about us or the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And as we come to a close to what we've been talking about, the spirit of Saul and the spirit of the elder brother, and my brother saying, we need to have that true elder brother spirit.
That's right.
Let me read you a verse in Psalms. It would say, how pleasant it is for men, brothers, to dwell together in
unity. Amen. Mm.
God did not put division in us.
No.
But we only cause division when we try to get above a brother. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. And let me read in the New Living Translation. It would say, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And let us not neglect the assembling of ourselves together,
right.
as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the return of God is drawing
near. All right.
Amen.
Now is not the time to start bickering at each other.
Yeah,
now is not the time to start fighting each other.
Yeah.
Now is the time to start building the other. Now is the time to start lifting our brother.
That's
Why?
Right.
Because Jesus is coming.
Yes. Amen.
And if he comes and finds us fighting with each other, guess what's going to happen? Both of us are going to stay here.
That's right.
Hmm. But if God comes and sees us lifting each other up, he'll say, come to me.
Amen.
Praise God.
Because that's what we're all working toward, is to hear, well done,
amen,
thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord forever.
Hey, amen. I'll just be happy just the gates open and I walk. Oh, God, praise God. I made it.
Thank you. Right? I made it.
Man.
Amen. And so, be loving. My brother talked about the fruit of the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit is in you, you cannot go wrong with it.
Amen.
And so we're grateful, we're thankful for even allowing us to come into your home and be, to speak the word of God. Amen. And we hope that we have encouraged you in a way that you're going to continue to walk in the path that God has chosen for you. You may be discouraged, but don't let that discouragement be a downfall for you. Right. You might have experienced this elder brother spirit, the Saul spirit in the churches, but do not let those spirits take a hold of you. But be encouraged, for there are brothers out there, there are sisters out there who, just like Christ, they have the Holy Ghost and they have these open arms.
Yes.
And so, as we draw to a close, if I would ask my brother James to lead us in prayer.
Yes. Lord, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for all of your blessings, Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness and your power, Lord. We thank you, God, for the blood that you shed for our salvation, Lord, and the stripes you took for our healing. God, help us, Lord, to take this word that you've given us and cultivate it, God, and to live in unity with one another, God, not striving with each other, Lord, but pushing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so, until the next time we see each other again, be faithful to God and continue to pray for your pastors.
Yes.
And always remember that this is that. Amen. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Well, there you go, my friends. We hope that you were blessed by the sharing of the word, and we pray that God would continue to bless you and guide you as we journey together towards the calling wherewith we were all called. And we hope you enjoyed our table talk, and please don't forget to click on that like button, to share, to subscribe to This Is That in your favorite podcast, and also find us on YouTube at Call to Ministry. Just click on This Is That video link. Until we meet again, continue to stay strong in the Lord. And as we continue to move together in the apostolic, always remember that this is that. God bless you all.